Hello, it's Friday 31st of July. I'm Hannah Pearson from Poet Anderson.
And I'm Gary Bowerman from Czech in Asia.
And this is episode 2 of the Friday Rewind.
Hello, wherever you are in the world, and thanks for listening in to the second instalment of the Friday Rewind Show.
Over the next 15 minutes, we'll zoom through an express recap of 5 red-hot talking points in Southeast Asian travel from the past 7 days. So let's get started. What's our first tourism topic, Gavin?
Well, the biggest story of the week, Hannah, is lockdown meltdown in Vietnam.
Right, it has to. We were saying, how could we do a Friday Rewind this week and not talk about that? I mean, obviously, it went almost 99 days without local transmission, and then suddenly it's been hit, hasn't it?
It's been hit in Da Nang City, which is, you know, tourism central at the moment for people from the big cities, from Hanoi, from Ho Chi Minh City, beach city, city of about 1.1 million people. Yeah. Attracted people from across the country, summer holidays in Vietnam.
Yeah, peak period.
And right, look now what's happened. It's a depressing story because, you know, we've said this many times on the pod. Vietnam was a success story. Yep. We're all holding it up as, you know, hope. It's a big population country.
Yeah.
It had managed to contain so, so well. Mm. And now the fears in the media are that this could actually spread nationwide.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they've now picked up cases in Da Nang, Hanoi, Ho Chi Minh, Trang Nhai, Trang Nam, Dak Lai, all linked to this Da Nang case.
Yeah, yeah. And in Ho Chi Minh City, I think they've closed down a hotel, which is opposite the hospital, because a patient stayed there the night before. They've closed down a pizza restaurant as well. I think that's in Hanoi.
In Hanoi, yeah.
Because one of the workers had been to Da Nang and got infected.
Exactly. They evacuated 80,000 tourists from Da Nang over the weekend, which is a crazy number.
Yeah. And the city's pretty much in lockdown.
Yeah.
No flights, no public transport. I was reading that even restaurants are closed, cafes are closed, even takeaway and delivery food outlets are now closed.
Yeah, I saw that because they said that people were flouting the lockdown rules. Yeah. So, you know, we're seeing them take this really, really seriously, this threat of a second wave. And I think we're just going to have to see how it plays out, aren't we, in the next couple of weeks, how wide the community spread is. But definitely, like you're saying, Gary, you know, Da Nang is this, you know, one of the really top tourism hotspots to go to. It's the middle of the summer holidays. A lot of people are going to be returning back to their hometowns from holidaying in Da Nang. So it's worrying.
It is worrying. I think everybody in the region has got fingers crossed that Vietnam can get a lid on this pretty quickly. A bit like Beijing did. You know, they acted very, very fast. They locked down in a very intense way. Let's hope Vietnam can do that. But the danger, obviously, is that it's in different cities and it could be in other areas that we don't quite know about.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed for that one. Moving on to our second story, Hannah. Now, this is Malaysia Airlines, which the media reported that it got a $300 million US dollar grant from the government.
Mm.
And then apparently it didn't.
Yeah.
Can you fill in the gap?
Wow. I mean, this is the story that wasn't really. But I think it just goes to show how much rumours are going around in the press right now and probably what dire straits airlines are that these kind of rumours are picked up almost immediately. So, yeah, The Edge, which is quite a leading business newspaper here in Malaysia, reported that, yes, Malaysia had apparently received a grant, Malaysian Airlines received a grant of $300 million USD, though it had noted that Khazanah, which is the investment body here, had not confirmed or denied this at the time that they went to print. And then, yes, a few days later, the Malaysia Airlines CEO, Captain Ismail, came out and said, this is untrue. He said it's a crap news.
Yeah, he used an expletive, which is really rare for a CEO, especially in Malaysia.
Mm.
But you're right, it does show that there is this level of rumour and these things aren't happening.
Yeah.
But there's also the turn on that, is that, you know, we are seeing governments, tourism boards, airlines using the media to filter positive stories.
Mm.
Some news outlets, like The Edge, is a bit more investigative and they want to find the actual real roots of these stories. So it's difficult to say, well, you can only publish the good stuff, you can't publish the stuff that's a bit more challenging.
Yeah.
We don't know if they've had this money.
Yeah.
And as you said, they haven't denied, they haven't confirmed. Yeah, it has been in the offing. I mean, Malaysia Airlines did say back in March that it would go bust if it didn't get government support.
Yes.
I think we know that. And the government knows that. Khazanah knows this as well. So there is some deal in the offing. It's just that they haven't been given the opportunity to report the story as they perhaps want to.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Malaysia Airlines is one of the few national airlines in the region now, I think, who has not yet received government support either.
Yeah. So like you said, not yet actually retrenched any employees, I don't think.
No, I don't recall that they have.
It employs around 13,000 people, but it hasn't yet retrenched anybody.
Yeah, so...
But it is a troubled airline. It has been for a long, long time. Mm. And this obviously is certainly not helping its future situation. It's going to need some funding from somewhere.
Yes, it is. It's the story that wasn't. our next story is kind of related to Malaysia, in that Cambodia has forbidden flights arriving from Malaysia and Indonesia. So, you know, it almost pops the ASEAN travel bubble dream there. But basically they had received, I think, 108 airline perks in the last few weeks who had all tested positive for COVID-19 upon arrival to Cambodia. And these flights had come from Malaysia and Indonesia.
They come via, hadn't they?
Yes, yeah, that is the important point. They were transit flights. Yes, yeah. Exactly. So although they had, you know, the flight was from Malaysia or from Indonesia, yeah, the Malaysian government have actually clarified that, yes, there were 55 using Malaysian airlines, but they were transiting. So then this raises this whole new point of transit passengers, and that even if you're a transit hub, you still need to really make sure that the passengers who are coming through your airport are not infected with COVID-19, and how can you make sure of that?
Yeah, I was looking at the list of countries that flights to Cambodia have come from recently for returnees that are coming home. They're mostly students or migrant workers. Mm. And it's several countries. It's the United States, France, Philippines, Saudi Arabia, Russia, Egypt, and Mali. That's just the most recent cases.
Yeah.
And as you said, some of those are transiting via Indonesia or Malaysia, or were. They're not allowed to do it anymore. But then I also looked, the media is reporting there are actually only about one or two flights per week from Indonesia or Malaysia to Cambodia at the moment. So although they're not allowed to do that right now, it's not that they've actually just slashed out a whole bunch of capacity.
Yeah, true.
It's a limited number of flights. But you know, this is also showing that there's this governmental friction, this diplomatic issue that COVID is throwing up. And as you said, you know, travel bubbles, what does that do to you know, reopening the green lanes?
Yeah.
When these issues are starting to emerge between governments, it's not positive, is it?
No, it's a funny decision, you'd think, for Cambodia to take this, particularly with Malaysia, who in Malaysia are claiming that the passengers did not originate from Malaysia, to then stop Malaysian flights. And we were saying to each other earlier this week that, you know, I think the routes from Kuala Lumpur to Cambodia are probably one of the main routes into Cambodia as well in terms of ASEAN travel.
Right.
So by cutting that route, you're affecting a lot of connectivity to your to your country.
Yeah, I mean, the Ministry of Health said in its statement that these cancellations serve to mitigate the risk of infections in Cambodia and reduce the possibility of community transmission, which is true, but you're actually laying the blame for community transmission on fellow governments in the region, which seems a strange move.
I mean, and it is also because everybody has to undertake a 14-day quarantine when you arrive into Cambodia anyhow. So you would think that, yes, maybe they're caught, but in theory, they should be caught during quarantine. They're not out freely into the community. So, a slightly strange...
There are some perplexing things happening right now. Some perplexing things happening. Let's move on. Move on to Taiwan, which is one of the most important inbound markets for the region.
Yep.
We've said that many times before. Mm. Now, Taiwan seems to be standing super tough on tourism right now.
It is, isn't it?
It's this week announced that it will actually increase for another year the visa-free access for travelers from four countries, which are Thailand, Brunei, Philippines, and Russia. That's been extended to July 2021.
Great.
But at the same time, the messages in the local media in Taiwan is that basically this year should be written off for inbound and outbound travel.
Hmm.
Basically writing off 2020. Now, some of these things are quite interesting. You look at why did they extend the visa access for those four countries, Thailand, Brunei, Philippines, and Russia? Well, it's quite easy. You look at the percentage volumes growth in 2019 compared to 2018, and those four countries did extremely well. Mm. Taiwan has been a growing inbound market from Southeast Asia. It's also a very strong outbound market. But if you read the Taipei Times this week, it was very strong on why tourism shouldn't happen for the rest of the year. It said Taiwan's healthcare system should not be asked to deal with new waves of imported cases just to pacify individuals or companies claiming for a return to normal.
Mm.
It adds, it is time to admit that travel restrictions are likely to be needed until the end of the year, if not longer. The sooner this new reality is acknowledged and planned for, the better for everybody.
Well, probably not the better for the tourism industry in Taiwan, is it?
Absolutely not. But also, another intrigue to this is that a couple of days before these announcements were made, the Japanese Prime Minister, Shinzo Abe, had said that Japan was actually in discussions with Taiwan and 11 other countries in terms of reducing the limitations for business travel.
Yeah.
So again, these things are perplexing. There are so many messages coming out that are contradictory, that are overlapping, that don't seem to actually be providing a clear way forward.
Right, and I think maybe a lot of it is perhaps it's just all on different time frames, isn't it? So you're never quite sure perhaps when Shinzo Abe actually spoke to Taiwan. And then when was that then picked up by the Japanese media and then reported versus, I think, even just a week makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's a very dynamic, a very fluid situation. As you're saying there, which is absolutely true, people are responding to questions in real time about policies and strategies that are being developed over a longer period of time.
Yeah.
So actually reporting those and actually dealing with them, it just puts out into the public domain this confusion.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's not good for the tourism industry to have to deal with, no matter whether you're in Taiwan or Southeast Asia or anywhere, really.
Another factor that actually emerged in Taiwan this week is that they have domestic tourism is taking off there.
Yeah.
And so they're worried about over-tourism in some of the outlying islands because everybody's trying to look for natural habitats, places to go that are away from the crowds. But actually, all it's doing is actually drawing in the crowds. So they're actually looking at taking measures to dissipate travel even more across the country and protect some of these communities, these small communities in the outlying islands, which are being overwhelmed right now.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's an interesting COVID story, isn't it? Over-tourism in the COVID era. We would never have expected that.
No.
So let's move on to our fifth story this week. And this is some good news, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
And it also, for me, brings together travel and football. So I'm quite happy about
that.
So Thai tourism plays in the Premier League. What's that about, Hannah?
Yeah, so TAT, Tourism Authority of Thailand, they've been a sponsor of Leicester Football Club since King Power acquired it back in 2010. And they have now struck a new deal that their logo is going to be on the front of the football shirts this year. And it's going to say, Thailand smiles with you, which I think is pretty nice. And it will be there, I think, for all the home matches. And they were also wearing it, I think, for their final match versus Man U earlier this week.
Yeah, which was a pretty inauspicious start. So you're right there that King Power, the travel retail conglomerate from Thailand, has owned Leicester City since 2010.
Mm.
Obviously, there are close links between Leicester and Thailand.
Yes.
Leicester City won the Premier League in the 2013-14 season. There was this huge outpouring of support in Thailand.
Mm.
But now, as you say, the Tourism Authority of Thailand is now front of the shirts. Now, it was a little bit inauspicious that the first game was against Manchester United because losing that game meant that Leicester City next season won't qualify for the Champions League, which obviously would have been much greater promotion for this front of shirt around Europe.
Yeah.
It means they go into the secondary competition, which is the Europa League, so there will still be exposure. But yeah, that wasn't probably the best result for them. but, you know, that brings Thai tourism, Southeast Asian tourism to the forefront of English football.
Yeah.
As we know, Cardiff City, which is in the second tier of English football, the championship, is owned by a Malaysian businessman, Vincent Tan, and they wear Visit Malaysia on their shirts.
Mm.
So we'll now have Malaysia and Thailand represented in the higher levels of English football.
Nice, yeah. And I think it's nice to see Thailand getting that kind of exposure on the front of the shirts.
Absolutely agree with that.
So that brings us to the end of this week's edition of the Friday Rewind. We'll be back with a special Islands edition of the podcast next week, and our Friday Rewind will return on the 14th of August.
In the meantime, you can catch up with our 30 previous episodes on the website, www.theseasiatravelshow.com, or on Spotify and Google Podcasts. Just search for the Southeast Asia Travel Show on either platform. And we are now also on the Pocket Casts, Podchaser, and Stitcher pod app.
So that's a wrap for the Friday Rewind, and we look forward to talking Southeast Asian travel and tourism again with you very soon.
Yeah, bye-bye.